You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. We are back from the Locked On Pacers All-Star Break. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about, of course, the Indiana Pacers, as always. I am one of the hosts of this show, Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and the Fieldhouse. And today, we are going to look back at All-Star Weekend. We took our own little break this show, Friday and Monday off. We are going to round out the week with four great episodes and then get back to our regularly scheduled 5 days a week programming so we can talk about All-Star Weekend, Sabonis representing the team well, Miles Turner doing some announcing. And then I want to talk about the buyout market. I don't think the Pacers will get involved, so it's a nice little segment to close this out here. And then I don't think we'll talk about the buyout market again on this show unless the Pacers do something shocking. Later this week, me and Adam will have a mailbag going on. We already have the questions, so be on the lookout for that. We'll have a Knicks preview and another fun episode coming out on Wednesday, so stick around for all that. But let's talk about All-Star Weekend. It was really fun to see Sabonis show out for and represent the Pacers, and they had some other stuff going on. You know, Tim Sinclair, the PA guy for the Pacers in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, did it for the All-Star game this year, which was really cool. I've met him a few times at Pacers games. Nicest guy, which was awesome. And then sort of along those lines for play-by-play announcing, Miles Turner and Donovan Mitchell did the play-by-play for the Rising Stars game, which was really cool. For those who didn't get a chance, I would recommend checking it out. If you can find a highlight video, there's a clip where Luka Doncic hits a half-court shot just before halftime of that game, and Miles Turner calls it. He says, with 2 seconds left, Doncic is going to make some crazy shot. Sure enough, 2 seconds left, Doncic yanks it from half-court and just drills it. I mean, Miles did a pretty good job. It's a hard job, especially for someone without any experience, and he did well. He's learned a lot from Chris and Quinn and JJ, apparently. So it was cool to see Turner and Tim Sinclair representing the Pacers and Pacers basketball there in the non-traditional ways, especially, you know, with it being in Indianapolis next year. I'm sure they were trying to get as much reconnaissance, honestly, as possible about what they could bring from the event from 1 year to the next. But the big thing from pre-All-Star game festivities, and we'll talk about the game and the ending in the next segment, was Sabonis in the Skills Challenge, which was really cool. I can't believe I'm talking about the Skills Challenge. I thought, I really don't care about this stuff. But honestly, when you cover the team in it, you want to see how it goes. And there's nothing to talk about. And Sabonis, I think, had the worst or second worst betting odds going into it. Him and Bam Adebayo, which is funny in retrospect, had the worst two odds. But, you know, we all watch Sabonis all the time, right? And we know he's skilled, and that's what this challenge is. You dribble, you pass, you shoot, you hit a layup. All things that we see Sabonis do well every day. And so I thought I was like, wow, he's really got the worst odds. You know, that's interesting. So he went up first against Jason Tatum, and Tatum knocked his ball away after the layup, and he still hit the three before him because karma. Gotta love that. Which was cool. So Sabonis moved on. Tatum, last year's champion, if you'll recall, hit a half-court shot. Was out. Then he went against Chris Middleton, and Middleton beat him to the layup ever so slightly, he beat Middleton to the layup ever so slightly, but they both missed some threes, and he was able to move on to the finals against, wouldn't you know it, Bam Adebayo, which was crazy. They both pretty much even the whole way, but Bam hit the three first. They both missed like two or three of them at the start. And then Sabonis, of course, right after Bam hits a three, chucked one up and hit it. So he did not win. He got second place. If you found a bet for who would get second place in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, I envy you for having the gall to commit to betting on that. But Sabonis did pretty well. And I think, for an event like that where it's like, yeah, this is all the stuff Sabonis is good at, I'm glad that if anyone actually reads into this stuff and cares, like no one is walking away from the Skills Challenge going, wow, you know, I had no idea Sabonis was so good at this stuff, right? Like Porzingis won, and no one's like, wow, Porzingis is clearly so skilled, he won the Skills Challenge. But it was cool to see him show, like, look, man, like, I'm quick, I can pass and stuff like that. I saw a bunch of fun Twitter jokes about people saying that Sabonis should be allowed to shoot more because he was canning some threes in the Skills Challenge, which was fun. And it was cool to see him. What I like about the Skills Challenge is what they used to about the All-Star game. where guys wear the jerseys from their team instead of an All-Star game jersey. So Sabonis was in the Pacers uniform doing the whole thing, the whole course, which was cool. And just to see him having fun was awesome. But ironically, I was on vacation when this happened. So I'm coming back and I have a layover in Atlanta, and I promise this gets to Pacers relevant. So while I'm sitting there waiting, wouldn't you know it, Popeye Jones is in the airport flying back to Indy. So I said, walked over to him. I said, Popeye, did you see Sabonis? Popeye works with Sabonis and Turner a lot before games. You know, he sets up the big men with passes off of fake screens and stuff like that. I said, Popeye, did you see Sabonis do well? You know, you work with him a lot. And he had not watched it yet. As of, man, what was that, Sunday morning? He hadn't watched it yet. He was busy doing whatever he was doing over the All-Star break, which made me laugh and was funny. But he didn't know he won, which was cool. So cool to see Popeye and cool for Sabonis to do well. But honestly, no one, including myself, is super enthused or into any of the All-Star event three-point dunk contest stuff. Although the dunk contest and three-point contest were both a little bit more fun this year. But they're all over. Sabonis did well. The All-Star game itself was a lot cooler. So I want to talk about that. But first, I want to tell you about a cool thing called the Theragun because it's awesome. So it is a performance-grade handheld percussive therapy device, which is a mouthful to say, but it is awesome. Basically, it's a deep muscle treatment gun. It's not really a gun. It like vibrates really fast and can rub out your muscles and stuff like that. And it's not, you know, it's for athletes and people. You know, NASCAR drivers have used it. The New England Patriots had some guys using them. It's awesome. And what it can do, it can help you sleep better. It can help you relax your muscles better. It's really fantastic. It's really cool. They have a sweet video on their website about all the stuff it can do. And it helps guys with stress from like long car rides and sleeping poorly, which is what I can use it for. So you should check it out. You can feel better naturally, treat your pain, and get back to your life. You could try the Theragun, risk-free for 30 days or get your money back, which is awesome, by going to Theragun, Theragun.com/lockedon. For a limited time, listeners of this podcast get a free charging stand with a purchase, which is a $79 value, which is pretty cool. That's Theragun.com/lockedon, Theragun.com/lockedon. The All-Star Game was fun. Usually it sucks, and I pretty much only watched because Sabonis was in it, and at least this is an actual basketball game and not just dudes dunking with no defender or shooting threes with no defender. At least this has... Okay, there's no actual... There might as well be no defenders for the first three quarters of the All-Star game. But at least the All-Star game has players versus other players and is fun. And Sabonis was on Team LeBron, and I thought that roster looked way better before the game started. And yet, going into the fourth quarter, they were losing by 7. And the fourth quarter wasn't really a quarter. They did this thing called the Elam ending where they add like 25, I think, or something. 24, Kobe's number, 24. They add 24 to the winning team's score, and then they're playing to a score instead of a clock, which was actually awesome. So this All-Star game wasn't the traditional boring, you know, no defense. I mean, it's like a bunch of, it's basically a highlight show, right? This one was cool. The first three quarters were kind of a highlight show, although there was this charity incentive where between LeBron's team and Giannis' team, whichever one won each quarter, donated $100,000 to one of the charities. So these guys were trying, and especially at the end of the third quarter, right, it was really close. And the third quarter ended up 41-41, so that the fourth quarter doubled the prize pool because of that. But, you know, the teams were trying. They wanted to win the quarter, and they wanted to win the donation. So this was really fun and cool. I really liked it. I hope they can work the Elam ending into like the mid-season tournament that the NBA is talking about establishing in a few years, like the play-in tournament thing that it might establish for the playoffs. I'm pretty anti-mid-season tournament, but I'm pro-play-in tournament. So if they're able to get it in there, that'd be really cool because this was really fun. The All-Star game was actually fun. And the end of the game was like electric, you know. So like dudes were locking in on D, trying to stop game winners. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it and you... I mean, I kind of ruined who won. Sabonis' team won. Sabonis undefeated in All-Star games, which is fantastic. But sorry for ruining the ending if you haven't seen it, but I would highly recommend actually checking it out just to see these guys like be intense and try. You know, Giannis had some insane blocks. LeBron was making some insane plays. It was really awesome. And then Anthony Davis hit the game-winning free throw in his hometown. Back to the Pacers, though. Sorry, that was a lot of rambling about the game and the fun stuff about it. But Sabonis was in the game – which is cool for the Pacers. And the most Sabonis thing I've ever seen in my life. He checks in, or maybe he came in to start the second quarter. I forget if he checked in or was just in at the start of the quarter. Either way, I think he checked in. He, first possession, sets a screen, kind of fades to the block. There's a drive, and the ball is flipped to him, and he draws a foul. He drew like the first foul for Team LeBron of the whole game. He hit the first free throw in the game. That was his first point. And then by halftime, wouldn't you know it, he's got five rebounds. He had the team high for LeBron with six rebounds in the first half. He barely played in the second half, although the same thing happened where he drew a foul and made a free throw. But he could have ended up leading his team in rebounds if he had played enough to get another five. Anthony Davis led Team LeBron with nine. What he did do is he led Team LeBron in offensive rebounds with three. Only Giannis and Rudy Gobert finished the game with more offensive rebounds, though they both played substantially more minutes than Sabonis. But it was really fantastic just to see him out there. It's like totally not Sabonis' environment, right? Because especially for the first three quarters, the All-Star game is basically just five dudes on the perimeter, and then someone will get the ball on a cut. Like, there was like maybe five set plays, right? So someone will get the ball, and they'll just attack an ISO or cut and do some fun dunk or something. So I think, well, there was one possession. I saw this happen. Sabonis caught it in the corner and was like, okay, like, I don't really know what to do. This is the All-Star game. So, like, pump faked an awkward three and then did this funky dribble drive and then kicked it out and didn't even get a shot out of it. Like, the way the game is played, he's just not going to get a lot of touches or do anything awesome. Like, people were roasting Kyle Lowry after the game because Kyle Lowry was taking charges and drawing fouls and stuff like that. Like, quote-unquote try-hard stuff, which is kind of stupid because everybody was trying in the fourth quarter. He just took the intensity up a level. But, like, Sabonis would have looked very out of place playing the way he plays, right? Setting screens, being the bruiser, really going for the rebounds. Like, it was a pretty – the moments he was in were all pretty casual moments. And I don't want to say, like, oh, Sabonis shouldn't just go punk guys. Like, he should do whatever he wants. But it would have looked really out of place for him to play his game. And the way the game is played is not Sabonis' game. So that was pretty interesting. He did have a nice post-defense moment in the fourth quarter on Joel Embiid, which was really cool. I was actually curious how this would go because I'm sure the Pacers wanted to make some highlight package for him for social media or something. But on their weekly like recap of stuff, the video they used of Sabonis in the game, the only one they used was his defense on Embiid. It was really, really awesome. So it was cool to see him play in the game just in general. I mean, obviously, again, he was behind Anthony Davis and Jokic, right? He was the third best center on his own team. So it was obvious he wasn't going to play much because of that anyway. And he was one of the worst guys in this game. Just, they're stars, right? Like, I'm not belittling Sabonis. He's just not as good as these guys. But it was cool to see him play, cool to see him do his thing on the glass. Second most rebounds of any player who came in off the bench, and he only played like 10 minutes. So really cool to see him do the things he does well and score some points and grab some rebounds and represent the Pacers. So pretty cool for Sabonis. Got introduced by Common, which was awesome too. And yeah, now he gets to come back and lead this team to their playoff push. And speaking of leading it, dang, that was a bad segue. I was going to say leading a team to a playoff push, but a buyout player would not be a lead. Speaking of the playoff push, though, the Pacers could, in theory, add a buyout guy to help them for the rest of the season. I doubt it, but they could, and I want to talk about it after a short little break. So the trade deadline's gone, and now is the fun time where teams that were stingy at the trade deadline go, ah, crap. I would rather not pay this guy as much as he's worth the rest of the year because I was too stupid to trade him for a second-round pick. Anyway, there's already been two buyouts. Marvin Williams got bought out by the Charlotte Hornets, and he signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. And Damari Carroll got bought out by the San Antonio Spurs. He'll sign with the Houston Rockets. These are all, I think Marvin Williams already debuted for the Bucks actually against the Pacers. And then Carroll's is all reported, but I mean, it seems like it's going to happen. The Rockets have to sign a guy by Wednesday to get their roster size up to the required limit. Anyway, so buyout season is in full effect, and it will be basically up until March starts. March 1st is the last day you can sign a guy, and he's eligible for the playoffs for your team, right? So guys, you know, rushing up to that deadline if they want to play in the playoffs for another team will concede a bit more in buyouts to help, not help necessarily, but so they can be off their team. It sounds like Evan Turner, for example, is going to get bought out by the Timberwolves. He already worked out for the Clippers. So buyouts are just what happened? They're kind of just what happens to good players on crappy teams. A lot of the times they're on expiring contracts. So the reason this happens is it saves the owner some money. Usually, ironically, they get bought out for the exact value of a minimum contract, right? So they make the exact same amount of money and they just get to switch teams. So their incumbent team saves the money of paying him out his full contract and saves the minimum value. His new team gets better, which they're happy about, and the player just gets to move teams. So it's kind of a win-win-win, which is pretty rare for NBA transactions. So the Pacers, let's talk about them getting involved. They did get a buyout guy last year with Wesley Matthews. The Knicks bought him out after he was traded there in the Kristaps Porzingis trade, which was interesting. He actually played for them a little bit, but they were like, nah, this isn't worth it. I'd rather get our young guys minutes. And a lot of times buyout guys can be lumped into one of two categories. One, they go to somewhere where they can get an opportunity, or they go somewhere where they can get the most money. And like teams that have their salary cap exceptions left have a huge advantage right now, because most teams can only offer, in fact, every team now that the Hawks use their cap space can only offer the minimum or exceptions. So if you have a salary cap exception, you're able to offer guys more money the rest of the season. Or opportunity, like Wesley Matthews last year, for example, chose the Pacers even on the minimum because he could start and prove how good he is. And lo and behold, he gets a two-year deal with the best team in the league, the Bucks. And he's starting for them too. So that worked out well for him. So that was what makes the buyout market tough for the Pacers this year, right? They would have to cut someone from the rotation and cut a player from the roster to actually use a buyout guy. 2 years ago, they added Trevor Booker, right? He wasn't technically a buyout guy. He just got cut by the Sixers, but for all intents and purposes, he was a buyout guy that year. He played like 8 or 9 minutes a game. He barely even played, and they still had to like slightly alter McDermott's minutes and slightly alter, like, they changed the rotation a little bit just to get Trevor Booker a few minutes, and he did help. I don't want to be like, oh, Trevor Booker was useless for that Pacers team, but I mean, it was just like not a huge, they had just had to, it wasn't like the most massively impactful thing. So this year, at that time, the Pacers only had 14 guys on the roster. They just had Trey McKinney Jones' 10-day contract expired. This year, they don't have that luxury. They have the entire roster and two slots filled out. So for the Pacers to get a buyout guy, you know, if Damari Carroll, say, was not signing with the Rockets and was interested in signing with the Pacers, they would have to cut someone, right? TJ Leaf has 2 years left on his deal. I mean, in theory, they could buy him out, but I doubt they were going to buy out a guy on a rookie scale deal. So he is likely off the table. Other expiring contracts, so typical buyout guys that they could cut would be like Justin Holiday. They're not going to do that. Jakar Sampson and Alize Johnson. So I would imagine, because Jakar is in theory a contributor, they would just cut Alize if they wanted. If they absolutely got a guarantee from some perfect fit buyout guy, yeah, maybe they would cut Alize and sign that guy. And a lot of people were saying, oh, Marvin Williams is going to be that guy. Well, Marvin Williams has already gone through the buyout process and switched teams. So I don't know who that player is, right? So there's a few reasons I think this doesn't happen. One, what is the, like, there's not, I don't see this player existing who's the perfect fit. Two, the Pacers have to cut a player, which seems super unlikely. And three, that player would have to choose the 8 or 9 minute Trevor Booker role on the minimum from the Pacers. And it's pretty unlikely, like, that's the level of player you'd get at best is Trevor Booker. You're not going to get Mike Marvin Williams chose the Bucks because they're, A, giving him 15 minutes a game, and B, it's like a championship-level team, right? The Pacers cannot, they don't have the pull to get a guy, a difference maker in the buyout market. So I think it's super unlikely they're able to lure a difference maker with their resources, and because they'd have to make a corresponding move. But it's not impossible, right? It's not impossible. But the thing is, I mean, yeah, if that guy agrees, great, but the guys who get bought out typically know where they're going anyway. It's more likely that they would just have like a free agent who's already a free agent be the guy at that point. So I don't think they get anyone on the buyout market. Now, it's still something to monitor, right? Like no one, Damari Carroll had 3 years left on his deal before this buyout. No one thought he'd be available. So any random player could, you know, Trevor Ariza or Kent Bazemore or something could just like, oh my gosh, who knew they would get bought out? Like that kind of stuff happens, so it's worth keeping an eye on all of that. But I sort of doubt the Pacers get involved in the buyout market. I think the team they have now is the team they're rolling with for the rest of the year, and they want to see how this iteration of the squad can do in the playoffs. That's what I think. I don't know that to be true, but I am pretty confident in that. And I don't think we'll be talking about the buyout market again on this show, unless Adam brings it up. So, yeah, that's all I got. All-Star is over. Buyout stuff is coming, but really, I'm excited to start talking about basketball games come Friday. And the mailbag coming up is fun. We already are saturated on questions, so unfortunately we're taking no more. But thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Glad we're back. Glad you can be listening to us on your commute or, when, or walk to class or whenever you're doing so. Don't forget to check out Theragun, especially if you need some pain relief. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast, and we will see you tomorrow.